Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham Ashby. And today, I am going to be chatting along with Tyrell McCollin. We will be chatting with a man that I deeply respect, Professor Senator Floyd Morris, one of the stalwarts within the disability community in the Caribbean region. He is also the Special Rapporteur with CARICOM. And of course, a professor at the University of the West Indies Mona campus, among so many other positions Professor Senator Morris has. Welcome to Visions yet again, Professor.
Thank you very much, Elodie. I'm very much happy to be here with you once again.
It's my pleasure indeed. So I just want you to tell us a little, because there may be one or two persons who have not heard about Professor Senator Floyd Morris, and just give us a brief introduction of yourself.
Okay, well, I was born in Jamaica in a rural community called Baileysville some 55 years ago. And at the age of 20, I got totally blind because of glaucoma that developed whilst I was in high school. And thereafter, you know, I became a member of the community of persons with disabilities, and I've been a consistent advocate for the community since 1991, when I joined the Jamaica Society for the Blind in Kingston. And I've used the offerings of the Jamaica Society for the Blind to rehabilitate myself, get back in the formal education system, and went to the University of the West Indies, where I did my first degree. I did my master's there, and I did my PhD. So in essence, I'm a UWI thoroughbred, so to speak. In 2024, May, I was promoted to the rank of professor, having led the research agenda at Mona for the past 15 years. So, you know, I've been around, I've been involved with the disability movement in the Caribbean. I have been a member of the UN CRPD committee since 2021 and was re-elected for a second term in June of this year. I have published extensively in the subject of disability and the politics. And that is where my professorship is in disability studies and politics. I've had 4 books published and 9 journal articles, plus another 6 book chapters that are peer-reviewed. And then there's another 7 non-peer-reviewed book chapters that I have. So there has been extensive publication and research behind the subject of disability. And so I am very much appreciative and understanding of the community of persons with disabilities in Jamaica and the broader Caribbean.
Wonderful. And I must say congratulations to you being promoted to being a professor at the Mona campus of the University of the West Indies. Tyrell?
Hi, good morning again, sir. Congrats as well.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Tyrell.
So, Ms. Yudalee has tasked me with asking you a couple questions and getting to know more about you. So, you said you specialize in disabilities and politics studies in Jamaica. Were you actively engaged in politics prior to joining the Senate?
Well, I was very much involved with the politics as a youngster, being involved with the youth arm of the People's National Party in the 1990s. And it was out of that involvement that the then Prime Minister Patterson decided that he was going to appoint me to the Senate because, you know, he was impressed by how I articulated the issues during the election and the fact that I was bold in communicating with individuals. And those are some skill sets that you need whilst you're on the parliamentary floor to be able to articulate the various issues. And so I have been involved with the politics since 1998 in a formal sense, but I was involved in the informal before 1998.
And how were you received by the public, by your peers, and so forth?
Well, I mean, there has been mixed response. You know, your opponents are going to be very much cynical. But I will tell you that notwithstanding the cynicism, they have been very respectful to me in terms of my work and my contribution to the politics. Because even though you, I mean, are cynical, you know, when you see the value and metal of an individual, you are prompted to be respectful. So, you know, my peers in the general respected me to the point where I have been promoted to the rank of deputy chairman for the political organization of which I'm a part. Okay. And I am also a spokesperson for the opposition where housing and sustainable living is concerned. So when you look at all of that, you can see that there is respect. You know, after I got promoted to the position of professor in May of this year, one of the newspapers published an article, and the caption of it was Jamaica's iconic disability advocate promoted to the rank of professor, you know? And to have those superlatives where I'm concerned demonstrate a level of respect for me and what I stand for nationally.
You sound like a very busy guy.
Yeah.
So you mentioned academia. You studied from your first degree all the way to PhD. How did that go? How was that experience at UEM Moulin?
Well, you know, Yulali will tell you that, you know, the journey for a person with visual impairment is a struggle. But once you are persistent, you will see the results. You will see the results. I mean, as I came into Kingston and went to Michael Evening College and started seeing the results, it continuously whet my appetite for more. And so when I went to the University of the West Indies, notwithstanding the fact that I never had any financial resources, I decided that I was going to go and I was going to push and I was going to give of my best in everything that I do. And, you know, I got into one of the prestigious departments of the university, the Caribbean Institute of Media and Communication, CARIMAC, and I did extremely well there. And that allowed me to gain a number of scholarships that assisted me with my financial expenses at the institution. And I ended up graduating with a upper second class honors degree. I just missed the first class by 1 point because in those days they had a points mechanism. And to get the first class, you know, you had to get 170 points, and I ended up getting 169 points. You know, but I accepted what was and moved on to the Master of Philosophy degree in government because I'd done so well at the undergraduate level. It was just a natural course of transition, and I completed the Master of Philosophy degree in government in 2000, where I focused at the time on looking at the political effects of the multilateral institutions, particularly the IMF, on the political process in Jamaica. So I finished that in 2000, and I took a break from academia and started to focus more on the politics, and that I did for 7 years. Until the People's National Party, of which I'm a member, lost the election. And so I took the decision that I was going to return to academia, and that I did in 2009 through the establishment of the Center for Disability Studies, because I was task by the then principal, Professor Gordon Shirley, to set up the Center for Disability Studies. And I've been heading and leading the operations of the center since its establishment in 2009. And I am here now as the professor and one of the leading researchers in the field of disability studies in the Caribbean.
Okay.
Now, Professor Floyd, I want to find out, what are your thoughts around persons with disabilities becoming involved in politics? And how do you think that impacts the disability movement?
Well, I think it is a necessity, because if you look at the various issues affecting persons with disabilities and how persons with disabilities have been treated over the years, if it is that persons with disabilities don't exercise their political rights, then you're not going to be able to see the disability agenda moving in the direction that it ought to move. And when I speak of exercising one's political right, I'm not just talking about getting the right to vote, to exercise that franchise. I am talking about the capacity to make decision and to participate actively in the decision-making process at the local, the national, at the regional, and at the international level. In fact, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, Article 29, makes it a right for persons with disabilities to participate in politics and public life, and gives certain obligation for the state to ensure the participation of persons with disabilities. And so, you know, it is something that I strongly encourage all across the world, because if persons with disabilities are to see that transformation in access to public facilities, in terms of the enforcement of their right to health care, their right to education, their right to employment, the right to social protection, if all of these things are to take place, then we need to have somebody who is in the room where the decisions are being made to constantly say, hey, remember people with disabilities. And the disability community need to be able to stand behind those persons and say, yes, we are with you in order to advocate for our rights. I mean, if you look at what I have been able to do nationally and regionally, it wouldn't be possible if I never had that political clout. For example, we established a national policy for persons with disabilities in 2000, and that policy was being negotiated, developed from about 1993-94. And it took a long time to get to Parliament. I mean, it got to Parliament when I moved a motion for its acceptance in 2000. And then we decided that we're going to move now towards getting legislation to protect persons with disabilities. And that happened in 2004. And it wasn't until 2014 that we got the legislation passed, because I was constantly knocking, constantly pushing for the government to establish this legislation. And the legislation is now in place. I mean, it was also my involvement that caused Jamaica to sign and ratify the CRPD in 2007, and also establish sign language interpretation in the Parliament of Jamaica in 2014. And all of this was made possible because of my involvement in the politics. And I am trying my best now to push the regional agenda to make sure that legislation is established to protect persons with disabilities. Belize has just signed and bring into law its Disability Act. and kudos to the Belize government. Barbados has a draft legislation that needs to be brought to Parliament forthwith. And, you know, I said that I'm going to send a little note to the Prime Minister, you know, because I reviewed the legislation. My very good friend, Mr. Ixon, and Kerrion Ifill had asked me to send some feedback on the legislation, which I did. And you have a very good piece of legislation that should have been tabled in Parliament a long time ago. So I don't know what is causing the holdup there. And likewise, St. Vincent and the Grenadines have formulated their legislation, and they too need to just get the job done, get the legislation tabled in Parliament. There will never be a perfect legislation, because the legislation in Jamaica is not a perfect piece of legislation. But you get it in the Parliament, you get it approved, and as you implement, you see where amendments are needed, and you make it over time. And I say to all the governments in the Caribbean, you know, you need to make sure that they move to protect mm-hmm. the rights of persons with disabilities yes. through legislation.
Professor Morris, there are two questions coming out of what you've just said. And one of them is, speak to us about the position of Special Rapporteur at CARICOM, because you talked about getting regional legislation in place. And then secondly, at the international level, you have just been re-elected on the United Nations Committee on the Convention of Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So speak to us and explain your roles.
All right. And I'm going to say some things that might be controversial and might be problematic here, because in 2018, I was appointed as the CARICOM Special Rapporteur on Disability. And when I accepted the role, which is an appointment from CARICOM, I decided that I was going to do so with the proviso that CARICOM would support me with the necessary administrative support so that I could do my work. I have my substantive job at the University of the West Indies that I'm paid to do. So doing a voluntary work as rapporteur for the region is something that I see as a part of my give back, but the supportive infrastructure must be there in terms of the administrative support. And I tell you that that is where my disappointment has been, because the administrative support for the role has not been there so that I can move around in the region and engage governments and engage the community of persons with disabilities the way I would want to. So, you know, I mean, I've been to some CARICOM countries, but it's primarily on the invitation of institutions and organizations that have taken the initiative to have a conference or to have some seminar, and they have invited me to come and participate. And I've gladly done so. I've been in Barbados, I've been in Antigua, I've been in Trinidad and Tobago, and I have been giving support through different conferences that I've had at the Center for Disability Studies and invited persons with disabilities and their organization to participate. For example, I think it was 2 years ago, I had a conference focusing on the issue of model legislation for the Caribbean. And it is out of that that we have seen the draft legislation from Belize, and Belize have moved quickly to implement. And it also impacted on the legislation in St. Vincent and Barbados as well. And I understand that Grenada is on the cusp of formulating legislation as well. So, you know, the critical elements of the work of the rapporteur to drive the implementation of the Declaration of Patientville, I've been disappointed because of the support that has been given through CARICOM, you know, which has given me the appointment. And I have stated that to them in no uncertain terms. I have stated it on a number of occasions, my disappointment. For example, for the 8-year period, I have not gotten the opportunity to meet with the leaders of the region to put the case of persons with disabilities to them. And that is a simple ask that I have been making for CARICOM for the past 8 years. And that has not been accommodated. All I want to do is to be able in 10 minutes to stand before the leaders of the region and tell them that you have a population of persons with disabilities from global estimates, about 16%, that have been isolated and marginalized. And if you have 16% of your country's population being marginalized, not contributing to the productive capacity of the country, it means that as a country, you are underproducing because you have the numbers calculated on books. And when you do your averages, you know, it is going to show you performing at a less level, you know, in terms of your development indices, because you have marginalized this population that could be contributing to different development measures in your society. So I am very disappointed, really, to the point of anger, because you see, when it comes down to my brothers and sisters with disabilities, I don't play. And if you give me a job to advocate for them, I'm going to do that to the best of my ability. And when I compare that to the experience that I've had at the United Nations, it is a totally different situation, you know, because substantially, I mean, I go to Switzerland twice a year to have reviews of the work of state parties in implementing the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And that has been one of my most rewarding journeys thus far in terms of advocating for the rights of persons with disabilities, because it places me in a space where I'm reviewing a country. Say, for example, Barbados report comes to me. I get the opportunity to look at the convention, look at the report that has been submitted by Barbados, and then make recommendations to Barbados. I'm just using Barbados as an example. You know, make recommendations to the country as to what to do to strengthen its systems for persons with disabilities. And I tell you, I say that I am disappointed because here is a situation where the world recognizes my expertise. The world embraces my expertise. And in some jurisdiction in the Caribbean, we don't recognize that you have somebody in the house who is willing to support, who is willing to give assistance, you know, but yet still we tend to be wavering where that is concerned. I mean, Marshall Nunes from Belize, who was very instrumental with their legislation, will tell you that I've held his hand from day one, straight through to the point of the passage of that piece of legislation in their parliament. And this is the sort of thing that I want to help CARICOM in doing, to make sure that not just six, but all the member countries of the region have legislation to protect my brothers and sisters with disabilities.
And I think right now in the Caribbean, we do need some serious handholding to not only encourage the politicians, but also the community of persons with disabilities. So we do need some serious handholding.
And that is true, Yulali.
Agreed.
It is really needed. Because, you know, disability law is very specific and disability studies is very nuanced, and it's not a lot of people in the region have ventured in this space to understand the needs and the situation of persons with disabilities. In fact, after 500 years of colonial experience, the policies and the programs and the legislations that have been formulated in the region have been steeped in coloniality. So we talk about an environment where the medical model and the welfare model is deeply entrenched. We are now in the era of the rights-based approach to disability. And so all our systems and procedures and policies and programs within the region need a revamp, need a reshaping because of that colonial experience. And we need individuals who have the understanding and expertise to guide that process. And I have been very much committed to that process and still is. But, you know, I have to relook at where I stand with CARICOM now.
Senator, outside of politics and academia, are you engaged in any recreational activities? What do you like to do on your days off?
Well, you know, I am an avid domino player. I love to play my dominoes and I enjoy liming with my friends. And so I would travel to the country where I'm from to have a lime with them and also with my university colleagues, you know. So I do have an active life. I'm very much involved with my church. You know, I'm very much committed to my God and my Creator. And so, you know, I am involved in several different activities outside of politics and academia.
Okay. How do you get it done?
Well, it requires time management. You have to be disciplined and you have to make sure that you structure your days. So, you know, I really start my day from 3 o'clock and get myself acquainted with the latest news and then venture into some of the work that I have to do, whether it be for academia, whether it be for politics, whether it be for the UN, and then just get moving throughout the day, you know. I also go walking, exercising in the mornings because you have to make sure you keep fit and healthy, you know. So I have a structured approach to the things that I do.
Wonderful. So I'll just close off our conversation today. And it indeed has been wonderful chatting with you yet again, Professor Senator Floyd Morris. What would you say has been the best piece of advice that was given to you? And what guidance and advice would you offer to young people with disabilities and persons who have acquired disabilities?
Well, you know, one of the best pieces of advice that I've received is to make sure that I take my education seriously. And I have always known that for me as a person with a disability who comes from a humble background, that the circumstances are totally different from an individual without a disability. And so education has to play a pivotal role. And even when things and times are not going well, I stuck to education and it has paid off. And I say to every single person with a disability, including the younger generation of persons with disabilities, stay focused and stick to education, because at some point in time in the future, it is going to give you the returns.
Well, Professor Senator Floyd Morris, indeed, it has been a tremendous pleasure chatting with you and learning a bit more about you and your work. And I also want to thank Tyrell McCullin for partnering with me today and being able to have those conversations.
No problem. Thanks again, Senator.
Yeah, my absolute pleasure for being here with you both. And, you know, always a pleasure interacting with my brothers and sisters in Barbados.
Okay.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Udalee Wickham-Ashby, and my colleague, Tyrell McCullin. We have been chatting with Professor Senator Floyd Morris from Jamaica. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 and 1-246-430-7300. You can also email me on visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can listen to this and past episodes by going to vob929.com. So love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So until next week, ciao.